This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Kat Arney. And a new way to make an efficient domestic fridge is being developed here in Cambridge. The company, who are called Camfridge, use a motor to move a special metal alloy through a magnetic field. And this causes the alloy to change temperature, and that temperature change is then passed to the fridge interior using a flow of cold water. The result is a fridge that is at least twice as efficient as the one that's currently working in your kitchen. And Ben Valsler met with Camfridge's CEO, Neil Wilson, to find out more.
The basic challenge with domestic refrigeration is trying to get more and more efficient appliances. An average domestic fridge at home is probably about 10% efficient. And the European Union has introduced a new set of legislation, essentially asking fridge manufacturers to go from 10% to 20%. The challenge they have is that they can do this, but they need to do a lot of work in changing the insulation. They've got to use vacuum panels. Vacuum panels are fragile and expensive. And also it requires them to redesign their appliance. Manufacturers are keen not to do this, and so they're looking to our technology to allow them to introduce the highest efficiency devices without having to change the way they actually make and construct an appliance.
So your device does the job of the compressor that we would normally see in the back of a fridge?
Yes, if you look at the back of your fridge, you see a big metal black box, and that's the gas compressor. The engine inside compresses the gas, which liquefies, and that then gets pumped around, and where the gas can evaporate. And when it evaporates, it absorbs heat and cools down the milk. At the other side of the cycle, the gas recondenses into liquid and emits heat. So at the back of your fridge, you feel heat coming out. That's the gas recondensing. And inside your fridge, of course, is cold, and that's where the liquid is evaporating.
How are you seeking to replace it or improve on it?
We're using a completely different approach to creating a cooling cycle, using magnets and special metal alloys. In some sense, conceptually, it's a very similar sort of process. In the gas compressor, you rely on the liquid gas transition. In the magnetic solution, we're relying on a very similar change from a ferromagnetic phase, where the electrons inside this metal are all nicely organized and aligned. In that state, it's attracted to magnets. And by changing the magnetic field, you can make it switch to a paramagnetic phase where the electrons are now completely disordered and no longer attracted to external magnetic fields.
So how does a change in the magnetic field or the magnetic structure of a metal, yes, how does that lead to a change in temperature?
Okay, we're using special materials called magnetocaloric alloys. And these are materials that, when exposed to a magnetic field, they change temperature. And that forms the basis for magnetic cooling. Now, this effect has been known about for some time. In fact, I think it was discovered by Warburg in the late 19th century in iron at several hundred degrees Celsius. All that we're really doing is using this effect, but using it at room temperature in order to exploit the temperature change.
So what actually is that metal? I can see you have a piece, roughly a square centimetre of it with you here. What's it made of?
This particular alloy is 95% iron, but it's doped with lanthanum, silicon and cobalt. And this has been designed to have a Curie temperature around room temperature. What I mean by that is when the material is below its Curie temperature, it's attracted to this magnet. As you can see, it's sticking onto the magnet quite happily. But when the material goes above its Curie temperature, the material ceases to become magnetic. And if I turn on the fan here and just heat...
And it almost immediately fell off.
Yes, as soon as it was pushed above its Curie temperature, it fell off the magnet. And it's these magnetic properties that we're exploiting in a magnetic cooling engine. And combining that with the magnetochloric effect, the actual temperature change, you can actually create four sides of a refrigeration cycle. And it's those four processes, the temperature change, and then the way the material changes its properties when exposed to heat, that you can use to actually pump heat from cold to hot or from hot to cold.
So how would we then integrate this into the existing design of a fridge?
In an existing fridge, you have the gas compressor, and the gas compressor absorbs heat from the interior of the fridge, and it also emits heat from a hot exchanger at the back of the fridge. In a magnetic cooling system, it's somewhat different because our material, our refrigerant, isn't a gas or a liquid that's pumped around. Our refrigerant is solid, and so it sits inside our device. So in order to couple the refrigerant to the hot and cold exchanger, we use a liquid. But in fact, that liquid is nothing special. It's basically water. So in fact, with our magnetic solution, not only have we got rid of often toxic gases that are used in gas compressors, we have a solid, so it cannot leak. And at the same time, the liquid that we're using to move the heat around is safe, non-toxic fluid like water.
So in terms of efficiency, you said the aim with this is to allow a new generation of extremely efficient fridges. How does it compare to what we've already got? How much bang for your buck do you get?
And roughly speaking, if you take a standard A-plus fridge using a gas compressor and replace that gas compressor with our magnetic engine, you will double the efficiency of the fridge without having to make any other changes to the appliance. So it's a factor of two improvement.
What else can we refine to try and make this even better?
Well, the first area is we can improve the refrigerant materials. The lanthanum iron silicon cobalt I talked about earlier, that's a very nice compound. However, down the road in the next 12 months, there will be a more powerful version of this material. And that will allow us to make the magnetic field smaller. So the device can be even smaller, even lighter, and cost less. The second thing that is key is to be able to run the machine faster. If you run the machine faster, you either create more cooling power or, again, require less material or less magnet. Those two factors combined will allow us to either A, make the solution for the domestic fridge less expensive and increasingly competitive, or alternatively, it will allow us to make bigger versions in terms of cooling power for the technology that might be applicable for supermarkets or for car air conditioning.
Neil Wilson, who is the CEO of Camfridge, he was talking with Ben Vowsler. I asked you earlier to go on our Facebook page and tell us whether or not you would like to be frozen for 4,000 years and what your thoughts would be on the prospect of that. BizFix Cambridge says, tough enough going on holiday for a week and then coming back. It seems like the world has moved on so far, catching up with 4,000 years of progress while you're asleep. Whoa. All right, then, let's go for it. Gavin Campbell says, definitely. Then when I was defrosted, I would claim I was missold payment protection insurance under the cryogenic plan. Rebecca Louise Roberts says, I would in the name of science, as long as it's like Demolition Man, where you get to learn some sort of skill subconsciously, just like Sly Stallone learnt to knit. And Andrew Reitemeyer says, sounds like a terrible waste of energy, but it might be worth it if you could put some money in the bank on compound interest, because after 4 millennia, it would be a tidy sum. But I don't know what bank I would trust for it still to be there in 4 years, let alone in 4,000.
Distilling the best science. The Naked Scientists.